This is
Cyber Station USA.
I warn you, their ingenuity goes hand in hand with their technology.
I think it's fair to call this hostile territory.
For you, I'll make an exception.
What you hold in your hand is the proof of their power.
Come here. You're not hurt, right?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show on the Neil Haley Network. And I'm excited to welcome the program Teresa Romer. Teresa, thanks for calling. Entrepreneur, author, fitness, YouTuber, social media influencer, everything in between. And I'm just impressed looking on social media with you and your good pal Dominic showing your 3,000-foot closet. And I'm excited to chat with you today.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
You had a journey from starting out in Nebraska. So tell me kind of a little bit about that story and that background in Nebraska. But you went through a lot of heartache and pain in your life and adversity to be where you are today. But it all started in Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Most people don't realize when they see you now, they don't realize where you came from. They just think you've always been the way you are now. And, you know, I started out as a little girl on a farm in Nebraska. With rheumatic fever 4 different times, which left me with a heart murmur. And, you know, it was a struggle to just be normal in life. And that's probably where I got my journey that I went on to in fitness, was because I refused to give in to the doctors and be a sick little kid and have to stay inside. And so I journeyed into fitness. And that took me on my road into fitness, which took me into scholarships, which took me into owning my own health clubs and being a personal trainer for 30 years, which took me into climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. But along that way, you know, many, many different other hardships, including, you know, losing my little brother from a massive heart attack at 23, losing my own son in a car accident at 19, losing my father at the young age of 70. You know, just, you know, life is filled full of heartaches, but you have to be able to overcome them all the way.
Teresa, you're the first person I met that had rheumatic fever that I've interviewed in my career in 10 years. I had it too. As a kid in 9th grade, I was diagnosed with it, and I'm 6'10", 300 plus pounds now, but I was a frail being when I got that diagnosis. I didn't have any heart problems, but I dealt with the pain of the joints and how you can walk up the steps, and people don't know how debilitating that disease is when you get it.
Right. Well, and our problem is we lived on a ranch remotely, very far from town. And so, you know, back in those days, when you got a cold or strep throat, that, you know, your parents just tried to treat you. And so unbeknownst to my mother, every time I would get strep throat, it would lead into rheumatic fever. And I ended up with it 4 different times, which left me with a heart murmur. But it's very debilitating, you know, and to be told that you would never be normally, that your heart would never allow you to be a normal child or even remotely have children as an adult. And to be able to overcome all of that and strengthen my own heart was just, you know, the candle on the cake.
How did you tell people you're not going to listen to what they say and say, I'm going to do what I want to do? Who taught you to have that strong will to keep going even through all the adversity you've had?
You know, I don't think anyone told me that. I just felt like when the doctors told me at Children's Hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, that I would just be a sickly child, that I would have to watch all the other kids outside play and I would have to stay inside because I would be too weak. I just thought, you cannot tell me I can't be normal. Like, I don't know if I was born with that desire or, you know, because to this day, when someone tells me I can't do something, I'm like, okay, watch me, you know? So I don't know. Maybe I was born with that. I don't know, but I just was bound and determined not to let some doctor tell me that I was not going to get to be normal and run and play outside with other kids. And so I went against everyone's will. I went against my mother, my father, everybody. And as I continued to get older, I loved sports. I just thrived in sports. And I became a world-class athlete against everyone's wishes, which led me to getting a basketball scholarship, which led me into the field of fitness, you know. But by the age of 19, they were able to actually take me off my daily dose of penicillin, which, you know, helped keep strep throat away, and said to me, you were able to strengthen your heart so well that we can hardly call you a heart patient anymore. But, you know, we can still hear, to this day, they can still hear my heart murmur up to somewhere around 180 beats a minute. But, you know, I've never let that heart murmur determine what I can and cannot do in life. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro at the age of 50. You know, I was a world-class bodybuilder, took the U.S. Open in 1999, went on to be Mrs. Texas in beauty pageants. You know, I've never let anything stop me. When people tell me they don't think I can do it, I just do it.
I love that attitude, and that's got to be very inspiring when people listen to what you talk about. Because again, so many people go through trials and tribulations, and then they just kind of go and allow it to really bother them. I guess hearing a story like yours can inspire a lot of people.
Yeah, but you know, people forget that, you know, doctors are not God, and you know, they can give you their advice, but you know, there's a higher power in this world besides the doctor. So I don't know. Somehow as a little kid, I felt that and I knew that. I don't know how, but thank you.
And you're inspiring me to remind myself of the days when I had to take penicillin during my college basketball career. There's so many similarities. It's crazy. I too took penicillin all through my college years, just because that's what they did to treat it. And you're in your 50s, I'm in my 40s. So it was a little differently how they treated rheumatic fever from that time to my time. And that was so tough. It's like, oh my gosh, got to take my pill. I'm healthy as can be, except that.
And right.
It's just like, wow. And you're always afraid every time you get a sore throat. Oh no, I can't. And that's
right.
What he's told me, I can't get rheumatic fever. And I mean, I cannot get strep throat, and I have gotten it a couple times, but it's just the living everything out of me when I get it.
Right. But you know, from, you know, every time I ended up with rheumatic fever, I laid in a hospital and it was painful. It was bed rest. It was terrible. And once you've had to do that, you do everything in your power not to have to go through that again.
Absolutely. All right. So let's kind of go to, you talked about fitness. You went from basketball to fitness. Who got you involved in being in fitness big time? You played basketball. Who got you to like lifting? You were in unbelievable shape. You're in unbelievable shape now, but you were in unbelievable shape when you were training in fitness types of things when you were in your 20s and 30s. But who kind of got you involved in that?
Once again, it was me. Every time I get involved in something, it's because of me, not because of anyone else. But I had graduated from high school. I was supposed to go on to Black Hill State University from a basketball scholarship. But, you know, in Nebraska and Wyoming, there was no such thing back then as go to college. It was, you know, you're supposed to get married and have children and live in a little house with a picket fence and have 2.4 children. And so, you know, I followed what your family tells you to do. And so unfortunately, because I missed my sport, the little town that I lived in had opened up this little aerobic center. And one of my girlfriends wanted me to go there with her just to watch. And I couldn't just watch. I had to participate. And the aerobics instructor just said, oh my God, you have so much rhythm, you know, you caught on to this. And I said, well, I was a cheerleader in high school, of course, you know, and from my athletic abilities. And so I immediately started teaching aerobics, which led me to, you know, competing back in those days, it was called the Reebok Aerobic Championships. I'm aging myself. And then I went on from that to become a certified Nautilus instructor, which is now called a personal trainer, but just loved sports, you know, and so it just seemed to come natural to me.
And then the gym business, right? After that success, you had that entrepreneurial mindset. And I'm not going to ask that same question again. Who led you to that? It's you. You make the decisions. I'm listening to you and saying, okay, Teresa says, I'm doing it. So you said, I got this idea. I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to own gyms, because you were a personal trainer. You make some sort of decent money. But said, no, I want to do something that's going to help transform me and other people just like myself. And I can't reach as many people by just personal training. I got to own gyms.
Well, you know, I was married and then I tragically got divorced. And so while I was married, I was teaching aerobics as a hobby, is what I thought. And so when I got divorced, I thought, oh my God, now I have to make a living. You know, what do I do? And so I took on 4 part-time jobs and was carrying 16 credit hours in college. And I just was beating my head against the wall. Like, what am I going to do to raise these children? You know, I'm on my own now. And suddenly it was like, oh my God, what you used to do for, you know, for fun, you can actually make a living at now, which was, you know, teaching aerobics and personal training. And I loved the entrepreneurial side of me being my own boss. And right. So before you knew it, I was like, hell, why stop here? Let's just own my own gym. And so I did. I got an SBA loan and opened up my first gym, which led to me opening up a chain of gyms, which led me to selling my chain and becoming a self-made millionaire.
And once you became a millionaire, then you came up with more ideas, right? More things. You
right? Well, you know, it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
You know, well, you know, just because, you know, some people think, oh, once I reach $1 million, I'll quit. And I've never known a millionaire that doesn't want to be a billionaire. And so you're never satisfied. You just want to keep making more and more and more. And so then after I sold my health clubs, I became a health club consultant, where I would go and teach people how to turn their health clubs around, which led to one of the biggest health club chains back then hiring me, which was Bally Total Fitness, hired me to come on as a district senior supervisor to oversee different areas, which led me from California to Texas, and that's where I'm at now. And so, but once then, I'm never satisfied. So besides just doing that for Bally's, I also got my real estate license. So I started doing real estate also. So I was really doing 2 careers at a time. And then I finally let go of the Bally's because it was taking way too much time, and settled on just real estate. But then that wasn't enough. And so then, you know, I still wanted to be my own boss even more. So that's when I started creating my own clothing lines, candle lines, pillow lines, fitness wear lines. You know, I'm a motivational speaker. I just can't get enough. Then I went into social media. I have my own YouTube channel. I'm a social media influencer for many, many, many different brands. And I just love it. I just love being my own boss. I love working. I can't get enough.
So tell me your schedule on a regular basis. You talked about all the you talk about how busy you are, and what time do you get up in the morning and what time do you go to bed?
I roughly get up around 6:37 in the morning. My first hour is meditation and speaking with God. I try not to even look at electronics for the first couple hours of my day, because we know what that happens. You know, right. It takes you away. And then I dip into, you know, I watch just a little bit of news and read the newspaper, and then boom, I open the computer, I open my phone, and usually by noon, I'm still in my pajamas because I've gotten so much work done between the hours of 8 and 12 that I haven't even had time to walk away from the computers and whatnot. But my day consists of photo shoots. It consists of videos, you know, creating videos with my teams. It's a lot of conference calls. I also do coaching calls. I go to different meetings. I do a lot of philanthropy work. So I go to all kinds of meetings involving different charities. I'm always brainstorming. We've got vision boards all over my office of us brainstorming what's the next big thing. You know, what do we want to do next? It's just, you know, collaborations. I'm always on an airplane flying somewhere to do collaborations with other YouTubers and other Instagrammers. Doing meetings with different companies to come up with different collaborations.
Wow.
It's just never ending. Like last night at the very end of my night, I had to run off to a Texas Children's Hospital gala. I was dead tired, but you know, too bad, you know, you keep going. Yep. And so, my day yesterday ended around.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Yesterday ended around 11:30 last night, fell into bed, got back up, you know, but yeah, so it's just, it's never ending.
Who keeps you so organized? Don't say yourself. Come on, you have to.
it's me and a couple assistants, but for the majority of it, it's me. I'm very OCDC. I have vision boards. I have calendars. Everything is on schedule. You know, even my workouts, if I want, you know, because I love working out. So I have to make my workout an appointment so that it's in my appointment book so that I make it. Because if it's not, then, you know, as well as I do, if it's not an appointment, we forget about it. It
exactly.
Never happens. And so health is very important to me. Working out every day is like brushing teeth every day for me. So it's very much a part of my life.
So yeah, well, I was watching. So one of your projects is a YouTube channel, and you have a show. Tell me about the show.
The Interns.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I was looking for another assistant, and I said, "Hey, why don't we turn it into a show? Why don't we call it The Interns?" And we have a little competition between interns to see who ends up becoming my next assistant. And so it was very well applauded. People loved it. And for me, not being a huge YouTuber, now, granted, a year ago, I was only sitting at 9,600 subscribers. And right. Now I'm knocking on the door at 120,000 subscribers. So okay. to grow almost 120,000 people in a year for being a somewhat nobody on YouTube was a huge goal, and it, and we did it. I said I was going to do it by the end of July, and I missed it by 2 weeks. We made it by the middle of August. So I found that YouTube has become my new platform. I look back at my old personal training days where I was able to help people one-on-one, you know, for an hour at a time. Now I feel like YouTube is like my new platform. I can still be that motivator that I was as a personal trainer, but instead of doing it one-on-one, now I'm able to reach the masses.
It's unbelievable. You talk about that, your growth, but you're a social media influencer. Is your Instagram stronger than your YouTube?
It is, and it always has been, but that was because I wasn't really paying any attention to YouTube. You know, I was just like, YouTube, who wants to be on YouTube, you know? And so I was just playing around with YouTube. I wasn't even taking it serious, but about a year ago, we said, well, what the heck, if we're going to have a channel, we might as well, because people kept saying, your life is so amazing. Why don't you capture it? And I was like, really? And so about a year ago, we decided, okay, we're going to capture it. And so we started pumping stuff out there, and it was just amazing how I was welcomed by the public. And we're making a prediction that next year at this time, I'll be at 500,000 subscribers.
I think you definitely will. I watched it. It's well production is very entertaining, and that's the important thing. And then it helps to have your platform of Instagram. as somebody that right. really wasn't social media, did you expect to have such an explosion on Instagram when you started that platform?
No. And once again, I'm not in my teens or my 20s. And so, you know, once you get past, 45, 50, you're like, I don't want to say you're social media stupid, but it just doesn't seem to be that important. You don't think. But then when you start really paying attention to it, you're like, holy crap, this is where we are today. So it's like I do coaching calls all the time and people are like, okay, I've got a budget of this much for advertising. And I went over it and I'm like, first of all, you shouldn't even have a budget for advertising, because with social media, there is no advertising budget anymore. It's free. Like, use social media, people, come on, So even myself over the past few years have learned the power of social media, and it's just amazing.
It definitely is. And you get to collaborate with other social media people. And I'm a semi-influencer, not to your level, but I have a pretty good following on certain platforms. And I, again, need a team just like you to be able sure. to be done. It can't be done all yourself, especially with all the different no. things you do. So tell us your latest projects, but I think that you use Instagram for sure for your product lines, because Instagram is the place to really get people really engaged to buy product, I think.
That's Yeah. And, I actually did things backwards. Back in the day, in around 2011, I was doing a TV show, and this network that I was working with said, hey, if you have any products you want out before the show airs, you need to have them out or we're going to get 50% of everything. So I, like an idiot, went out there and started mass producing all kinds of products because I didn't want them to get, a share of anything. And at that time, I wasn't really that known on social media. I was known, but not really known. And so I, like an idiot, sat on that product a lot, because unless you have a following or unless you want to do trade shows or whatever, you're going to sit on that product. And because I was not that well known on social media. And so now I can sell snow to an Eskimo because of social media.
It's tremendous. So give us your latest projects. I know you have a bunch of them, but I want you to definitely tell people about it, because again, one thing, Teresa, are you ever going to think about making the move to a reality show? Not just YouTube,
yeah.
going to it, because you definitely, I believe, are perfect candidate, especially because of your inspiring, but also you're not going to take flack from anybody, and it's a perfect to be on television. I'm waiting for that reality show. Is that going to?
Well, that was just it. Back in 2011, we pretty much had one, and a family member destroyed everything, and there was restraining mm-hmm. orders because of it. But so for 8 years, I've never lost that dream. I had it in my hand in 2011, and someone else destroyed it. And so for 8 years now, I've continued to work very hard at it. Time has been my best friend. I've been on many, many, many different shows. I've been seen on Married to Medicine Houston. I was actually picked for the cast of Real Housewives of Houston, but they chose Dallas over Houston because okay. they put together the wrong cast out here. And I've had little spot segments in many different other reality shows. And so I want my own show, and I do believe it's going to happen. I've never quit working for it. And I think we're on the very verge of it possibly happening now.
Well, once it happens, you have to come back on my show, even though you're going to be on a bunch of different things, and you go on your Instagram tomorrow and get huge publicity. I think what you've learned in your career is every place, give everyone an opportunity to speak with you, because you never know who's going to find you, who's going to discover
exactly.
you, your story,
yep.
because you're not yep. going to get this story about rheumatic fever out in a soundbite 3 minutes. That's for sure.
No.
And that's, I have chills, Teresa, just because of some of the things that you have, the mindset you have, that I have those certain dreams and aspirations as an entrepreneur as well, to never give up, to keep looking at it, grow a platform. But then sometimes things start to look like they don't turn out, and then it all changes. You talked about 2011. You wanted to become this, then you had to do it your way. And that's always the Teresa way. I think that needs to be a thing. Instead of I did it my way, I did it Teresa's way. There you go. There's a quote right there. And now that opportunity is going to come. And sometimes we have to understand we have to wait till our time comes, but we have to strive and scratch and claw our way through that. But ultimately, sometimes we don't know when that time comes.
Right. And I'm a firm believer in manifestation, and I'm a firm believer in putting what you want in life out into the universe. And, you know, I've had a lot of this out into the universe since I was a little girl, and one by one by one, it has all happened. And I've never known when it was going to happen. There was no timeline, you know, but I just said, someday in my life, this is going to happen. And it's always been happening. And so I don't give up on things. And I'm a firm believer that there's a higher power and our life is written out for us. And we're not in control of that time. So I'm a firm believer it's going to happen.
So here's my take on this. Next year, I'll be out in Houston again. This time, we will be going, you'll be a reality star somewhere. Either YouTube will blow up even more, or you'll be on a station. My internet radio station I own will broadcast live, we'll stream it on Facebook, and we'll do it from your house. We'll plan it all out next time I'm in Houston, because I think it'll be awesome.
Perfect.
We'll build both of our audiences together, and I expect we're going to double in size, both of us, by the time next year comes in December.
Definitely.
Best place you can find about your products and everything, where can we go, Teresa?
You can go to my website, teresaromer.com. Everything's on there.
Absolutely. And well, thanks for taking the time. I'm rooting for you. I can't wait to see you on reality show, and I'm definitely going to continue to watch your YouTube stuff. And you're inspiring people, and that's the important thing. You're not using your platform in a way that's going to be disrespectful, that's not going to inspire others. You really want to do what you've done from the beginning as a personal trainer, entrepreneur, fitness. You want to transform people, and you know a platform like these platforms are the only way you can. So I appreciate
what you're doing.
Exactly. Best of luck.
Definitely. Well, thank you for having me on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. Take care. Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You'll listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Thinking Through the Trees show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Michael Chappie. Michael, how are you? And like I said, man, Thursday nights have been pretty exciting. Some really interesting guests talking about different things in pop culture. We started with Warner Brothers, and now we're really getting into reviewing different things and having good conversations. How are you, Michael?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am excited to welcome this guest to the program, award-winning director Arto Halonen. He's a Finnish director for Murderous Trance. Arto, thanks for calling, and I appreciate you coming by to discuss the film. Both Michael and I viewed it. We loved it. It was just really well done, and I know you're excited about the release in the United States and the feedback you've been getting so far. Right, Arto?
Yeah, exactly. It's been really, really great, you know, to get the film over here. And it's a good time to be here also by myself.
Exactly. And be able to promote a film and show it and say, hey, you know what? This is something really interesting, the story. So I'm going to go to the first question. Arto, how did you hear about the film and were asked to be the director? Tell us that story.
Yeah, I mean, I have a background with the hypnosis. I was studying hypnosis. You know, I was curious about, you know, how you can influence the human mind and how you can learn about that and how you can use those things in the therapeutical way. And because I'm the film director, I wanted to learn, you know, those things, you know, and use those things, you know, in the positive way in my work, positive ways in my work. And then I was reading a lot of books about hypnosis, and then I found this incredible crime, what has happened in 1951 in Denmark, when somebody hypnotized another person to rob the banks, and he killed two persons dead. And they were able to prove this case in the court, and they put the hypnotist to the prison. And I was very fascinated about the story because I felt it was very timing, and nowadays, you know, when the film is finally released, it's even more timing. And what happens around us, you know, and because the manipulation hypnosis is in our everyday life, and this special case, you know, showed how you can influence and hypnotize the individual person, circumvent his moral, and go inside of tomorrow and leave the person inside of the person. And this is the same method all of these religions, political parties, social media use for us as a mass, exactly the same way. And that's why I felt this is
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
I felt this is a fascinating story which should be told, you know, for the people, you know, and what happens for us all the time.
I completely agree. And I think that a lot of times we're hypnotized and programmed in so many ways in our culture through social media, as you talked about, through advertising and different things like that. Go ahead, Michael, with your question.
So did you ever get hypnotized?
Yeah, I've been hypnotized. You know, I was in this 2 years holistic hypnotherapy education course, and then my teacher hypnotized me several times, and I've been also hypnotized other people.
So, Arto,
so I know this very
go ahead, Michael,
practically. Sir. Yeah.
So how was it hypnotizing other people?
Yeah, that's something. hypnosis is the tool. You can do really great things. You know, you can do a lot of positive things, but then there's also a lot of things you can do, the negative things, you know, and I was really curious, you know, to also to learn and try to do these positive things, you know, I had some friends, you know, we had a mutual goal, and then we just agreed what we are doing, and then we followed this path. And I had this education also, the background, and I was reading and listening about, but I haven't practiced this as a professional, you know, and I,
right.
So it was for these small groups, you know, I mean, the mutual, you know, agreement with the people, what he was doing.
You know what I'm surprised about,
yeah,
Arto? Yeah, so you're the director of the film. Are you also the producer as well? Did you come up with the film idea and then pitch it and find the funding, or did somebody come to you and hire you as the director?
Yeah, I'm also the producer. I'm producing also the film. Sometimes, you know, people hired me to direct films, but in this case, you know, I wanted to be the producer also because I wanted to kind of to control it, you know, and the storyline. And it took actually quite a long time to put it together, but I'm really happy it finally happened.
And that's a process, Michael, as you know. So, Michael, go ahead with your next question for Arta.
Yes.
Arta. Mm-hmm.
So, yes. From the time it started, how long was the process to get this picture made?
Yeah, I mean, I started already in 1997, the work with this story. And but the great thing was that I found the guy who was hypnotized and who did all of these bank robberies, and he killed also these two persons.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And he spent like 17 years in the mental hospital after he did it. And I found him in 1997. He changed his name after he was released from the mental hospital. And that was great part of the investigation, you know, that I met also some people from the police department who were in the charge of the case, you know, in that time in '50s. I didn't have my track record wasn't enough good in that time order to put this international co-production together, and that's why I needed to wait, you know, some years, and then 2010 I made one blockbuster film internationally, and that changed my position, and it was much easier to
yes.
put the financing together for the film.
So Arto, tell our listeners, especially when talking about international film, your success and your awards that kind of helped you so that then you can take an idea like this and put it to a film. What film was your blockbuster film in 2010? Tell us about that. Our listeners are interested in hearing about it.
Yeah, that was the name which the Princess. It's the title of the film, and actually based on the real story about one mental hospital patient in Finland who kept saying that I'm the princess, and then she brought incredible much, you know, positive energy and the joy for the other patients and also the people from the near village and the nurses and. And then at the same time, you know, these doctors were trying, you know, take out this illusion. But it was a very beautiful story, and it touched people a lot, and it got a lot of audience, you know. And actually, we are also negotiating about making this remake of this film with the English language. So let's see what happens.
That'd be fabulous, and I definitely would love to have you back on when that happens, for sure, because, again, and it's just once you find a film and bring it to the States, it's an interesting thing. Go ahead, Michael, with the next question.
So, going on what Neil just said, how hard is it to bring a film from Finland over to the States? What's the process?
Yeah, I mean, this is English language spoken film, you know, the roots are very international, and we have a cast, you know, which is, we have a Charles Lucas, we have Pilo Asmik, a lot of these international recognized great actors, you know, and then from the beginning we had also the U.S. sales agent, you know, and that's why it helped, you know, us, you know, to also get the distribution here. The film has been sold already over 60 countries, and of course,
oh,
it's
wow.
always great thing to get it over here in the United States.
And absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How did you get Josh Lucas and also the cast to find those people? Because once you have the idea, you have to pitch actors that they want to go ahead and be part of this film.
Yeah, it was a long process, you know, and get about the story in the Skype because he was filming other movie in New Zealand, and but then I mean he wanted to do the role, and that was the voice and this handsome looking face, you know, and that combination together with this evil character, I was thinking this would be great if he would. Would be interesting about the role, and then I was really happy, you know, when we approached him, you know, that he found this project very appealing, and we got him, you know, And it was fantastic to work with these great actors and with Charles. And he made an amazing role here in the film.
Wow, that's great. So how long? So you said 2010 is when you had your big break.
But it still took many years. You know, even it was a big break. You know, but still it still looked almost like you know the 8 more years to complete the film. So it wasn't easy. But I mean, it was possible. You know, and, yeah, it's never easy to make films. You know, it's always the game. You know,
when I talk to people about this, it's just crazy. Some people like done movies that are still not out yet.
Yeah, that's
like 10, 15 years ago. It's unfortunate that you have to do all that work just to get your vision, for somebody else to see your finished vision. So is it like having a child when your movie comes out? Like, I don't know how else to phrase it. Like when your movie comes out, is it like just letting go of something that you worked so hard to do?
It's a kind of nature of the filmmaking that you need to accept that sometimes, you know, you do a lot of work and films never come out, you know, and in some other cases you can complete those. And of course it's a great thing, you know, when it happens. And sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to cut the tires and cut, you know, these connections with the baby. But of course, it should be done, you know, and let it flow, let it go, and in some moment, you know, and it's not easy. It's not easy, but that's something also we should learn as a filmmakers to do, and not stick there too long time and do negative way. But it's an interesting process as well.
Arta, what is your goal with the film? What do you want to attain, especially going to the States, now having it released in specific theaters? What's your ultimate goal with this film?
I really hope, you know, that you know, it kind of put people to think about, you know, themselves, you know, what happens around us. And how big thing this manipulation can be, and actually how it is in the world. And I think so that the great thing is that if this film would open a bit more people's eyes, you know, to look themselves differently and surroundings differently. And then when you understand more, and when you're learning more about yourself and other people and this world, you know, then you can also control yourself better, and also then you're not so easy to be manipulated.
Absolutely.
Kind of when your resistance is growing, you know, and I think so. This is one of the crucial problems in this planet, you know, that. And we don't realize that very well yet, you know, that how we really are mislead, you know, all the time. And how, I mean, take a look all of these elections around the world, you know, not only here in the US, but in other countries also, that how different sources has been influenced those elections and clearly, you know, made a result. And it shouldn't be possible, but it is possible. I mean, they have a troll armies and troll factories in the Russia, for instance, you know, that they are doing this repeat, you know, manipulation and with the fake news and all of this stuff. And they wouldn't have these factories if it wouldn't work. But it works, you know, and that's why, I mean, more and more people and governments are doing those things. And that's why we should, you know, increase, you know, our understanding and this kind of I'll point a few, you know, the order to minimize, you know, that influence.
Arto, I'm sorry, Michael. Next question for Arto.
So, going with what you're saying, it's just, yeah, this picture spoke to me about how it's easy to manipulate certain people in our society and just to use them as a device or an instrument to get what you want. And that's like your picture, just that's what spoke to me. Like how somebody is using somebody else as a, I want to say, patsy to try to get away with crimes. But to me, I think he was just testing his theory to see if it would work. And then when it worked, he didn't think he was going to get caught. That was the fascinating thing to me.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
And definitely,
so, is that something you were going for?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, I just wanted to add, you know, I also wanted to make the story as entertaining form as possible because this is also a fascinating subject, you know, and,
absolutely.
But that's true, you know, that, a lot of people actually, there are some hypnotists who has been testing, you know, that can you really do these things? And actually, there's several cases that they successfully has repeated, and they have done the same thing what happened in the film, which means that they have been manipulating, hypnotizing someone to shoot other human being, of course, you know, with a fake gun, but the person who has been shooting, he has been thinking it's the actual gun.
Right.
So, but you need to use the same method, circumvent the moral, and then, you know, lead the person inside the moral. And that's why, I mean, that's a whole interesting point, and that, as you were saying, that that we can influence and manipulate some people, but actually you can influence and manipulate all of us if you find a way of your own moral.
You can.
And that's scary.
But do you think...
I'm talking about myself. You know, I'm the person who can be manipulated if you just learn me the right way and if you circumvent my moral, and then suddenly it can be possible, even with me and with you. And that's why we should learn more about ourselves.
Yeah. Now, do you think that you talked about that case in a true story, that this truly did happen? Do you think you brought up that there have been hypnotists that have had people do a fake gun? Do you think crimes have ever been committed through hypnotists from a hypnotist doing it that have never been solved?
I'm sure there are a lot of cases, you know, what has been done, but it's very difficult to prove it and find the evidence, you know. But I'm totally sure about that. That's been used a lot. There are some examples, very strange examples. Everybody knows, you know, and that could ring your bells, you know, that there might be some involvement with the hypnosis.
Well, Arto, everyone needs to see Murderous Trance for sure. It's, again, going to be in theaters in Pittsburgh on December 6th. Check it out. I'll have it all in the description in the different sections, but it's going to be going to other theaters as well. There's a website, Arto, right, to check out what theaters it'll be playing in, right?
Exactly, yes.
Awesome. Do you have social media? People can check you out as well, Arto?
Yes, yes.
What is your social media?
Yes, you can find the information from that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. With the title "Murder Strange," you can find. You know, I don't remember the specific. but we have this page.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. It's great.
Facebook, you know, Facebook and other places.
What about personally? Are you on Twitter and stuff, Arto?
Yeah, I'm over there also. Yeah, and also the Murder Strange is there. Yeah. Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling, and best of luck and continued success in your film, and look forward to watching your career and the next films that are going to come out for you, okay?
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was great to talk with you guys.
It was great talking to you as well.
I'm happy you watched the film as well, yeah.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Hey, enjoy your time in the U.S.
Okay. Take care, Arto. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Thinking Through the Trees show, everyone. Good day. We're back to the Neil Haley Show in the Author's Corner segment. And, you know, when you think about the name T. Rowe Price, I mean, you see commercials, you hear different things, and you say, well, who's the real person behind a name of a company? And finally, I do have a guest on the program that's going to teach me this. So I'm excited to welcome to the program author Cornelius Bond. He's the author of T. Rowe Price, The Man, The Company, and The Investment Philosophy. Again, thanks again, Cornelius, for calling, and thanks for being on the Neil Haley Show. How are you?
Just fine, and thank you for having me on.
Okay, so let's talk about your background, your history. Maybe they need to write a book about you as well, Cornelius. And then we'll get into the book.
Okay. I graduated from Princeton with a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering, and ultimately ended up working for T. Rowe Price. I soon actually began working directly for Mr. Price. He had founded a new fund, mutual fund, called the New Horizons Fund. And it was filled with small technical companies. And I was the only one in the shop that knew anything about things like electrical engineering. So he quickly recruited me to help him run that fund. And in that process, I got to know him quite well, and the fund itself did very well. Its first 10-year performance, it was the very best fund in the country, irrespective of category. It was the very best equity mutual fund in the country. I give him most of the credit for that. I was learning from him rather than the reverse, but I did help out on a few technology investments along the way.
So what made you want to write this book?
Well, nobody else had written a book about Mr. Price. As you say, his name was well known. And in fact, I had a very well-known commentator ask me recently, was there a Mr. Price? Everybody's sort of heard the name, but nobody knew anything or much about the man himself. And this modest, highly ethical man, as you know, had established one of the best investment records of the 20th century. But he wasn't well known for that or personally. And I wrote this book with a number of others who also knew him well. And we all worked because we admired the man and we thought more people should know about him.
It definitely sounds like that. More people wanted to know about him and you wanted to learn. So let's take it back. What year did you meet T. Rowe Price? First start working for him. What year was that?
Many moons ago, actually. I joined in 1960, fresh out of engineering school. And that would happen to be the year 1960 that the New Horizons Fund was started. And they had a need for somebody like me. The man that had that position at that time was it was in his 50s, which was old for a modern technology. He was an English major at Princeton, and he had a fear of flying. So it took him 5 days to get out to the West Coast, which, of course, was where most of the technology companies were in those days. Hewlett-Packard and Ampex and Beckman Instruments and a number of companies like that were all in California. So I came on board to really get out and meet these companies and try to figure out whether they're good investments or not.
Interesting, because you had to look at specifically enough, would they be the kind of company that's going to be long-term or growth or not? So at that time, people, I guess, don't think about this, that the job of an investment company is not just to kind of play the market or look at forecasters. You are the forecasters. You go out and look at the company's solvency, see if they're going to, how much they're going to profit, what things are great about that organization company, and what things need improvement. If that sounds like what you did, Cornelius.
Exactly. I was what was called a security analyst. And beyond that, in those days, people generally didn't leave their desks. Most people studied the financials and listened to Wall Street analysts, but didn't really get out and meet the companies themselves. Mr. Price had a rule when I joined the company that any company that we invested in, someone at T. Rowe Price had to meet management. And ultimately, we had to meet the chief executive officer. That was difficult to do because the chief executive officer, pretty busy guy,
very busy,
on the first visit. But ultimately, he required that we meet the chief executive officer. So we knew who was running the company. That to him was the most important single fact to know about a company.
Because if the guy that runs the company doesn't seem very organized or doesn't seem like he has a large vision, then you're not going to invest.
Yeah, it's small things. I sort of equate it to wine. It takes a lot of glasses of wine before you can determine what is a good wine and what is not. And in tasting that wine, you have to taste the very best as well as the worst to know the difference. And that's very true with management. It's a subtle thing, and you just have to have a lot of experience meeting them. Small things like varicose veins around the eyes, you know he might have a little bit too much to drink sometimes.
Oh, yes, especially at that time,
If there's a little gravy on his necktie, you know, that maybe he's not as precise about things.
Before us, the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.